The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks to the guys for handling last week's program as I took off for a great Father's Day trip to the Gulf of Mexico. Ended up in Orange Beach, Alabama, which is right on the Georgia-Florida line, which I know there's a country song that talks about that, and went on a 36-hour fishing excursion with my son William and I went, and six other people, and it was a great time. Long time out there to be on the water. We caught some spectacular fish. So if you happen to be a Facebook friend of mine, and if you're a friend of the show, I'd love to have you a friend on Facebook. Just go search me out. You know my name, David Hayes, H-A-Y-S, no E. I went to Edgewood High School, studied at Greenville College, IU, and more importantly, the profile picture will be me and Will holding a great big wahoo. So check it out, the pictures, the videos. We had a lot of fun. Then I came back to something pretty special. If you get the HT, which I hope you do, I know there's not been a lot to read about or write about simply because of sports not being around. But I was so honored that they ran an article in the home section on the historic Hayes Market. Now, of course, for those of you that know me, know that that was my great grandfather, Jim Hayes, who started Hayes Market. My granddad ran the books. My Uncle Paul ran the meat counter. My Aunt Mary, Great Aunt Mary, ran the cash register. So as my grandpa passed away, my Uncle Paul passed away, Mary was the last one standing, and she closed the store for good in 1996. Well, Tim Hinkey, good guy here in town, philanthropist as well, and a developer, bought the building from Aunt Mary, and he renovated it, put a bunch of money into it, released it to a bank, and there's a picture in the home section from Saturday, and I know you probably didn't keep it, but I have seven copies now from gracious people all around, which I appreciate that. It shows the first financial bank building there, which was the old Hayes Market building. So then in the early 2000s, I actually bought it back from Tim, and it's been in my family now, my possession ever since. So I've not really done much with the building besides just let it lease out. You know, we've had people downstairs and upstairs, and now CASA, which I'm a proud board member of, is on the bottom floor, and they've occupied that space now for about a year. And bless their hearts, they've been through a lot as we went through a renovation to renovate the top floor and to some really unique apartments. And then we have a new structure that's on the parking lot. It's called The Q. And The Q is 12 one bedroom and efficiencies. Really cool, little courtyard in between. So if you're driving by 6th and Morton, check it out. It's going up quick, and we're just proud that we've been able to do this. So to have an article written, and it was more of a story by Jackie Sheckler Finch, because her and I know each other from way back in her Home and Lifestyle days, but writes all about it. You know, from memories from when we were kids to the current here and now, some pictures of myself, my dad, my son Will in there, pictures of past meat cutters. I'm looking at it right now. And then Adam Long, local artist and friend of mine, great, very good friend of mine, have painted four murals that will be put on the side of the building on the Beeline Trail. And it replicates the old part and also some of the new parts of Morton Street and 6th Street from the Blooming Foods building down, which happened to be the very first stop that Hayes Market made in 1940-ish, I believe, at the Blooming Foods building, that moved to its location that most people that grew up here know of as the Hayes Market, right at the corner of 6th and Morton. So I'm just, my dad told me he cried when he read the article, and by golly, I did too. So good heartfelt story there about the old Hayes Market. It's good to read about something good during these crazy times that we've been going through. And then, yeah, so from that, we've just had a great Father's Day weekend, and I'm going to take a quick break when we come back, do a little news of the week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. You know, down in Orange Beach, Alabama, you have Auburn fans and you have Alabama fans, Roll Tide. And it was pretty cool being down there because, one, people were acting somewhat normal. There was not a lot of what we experience here with the half-closed restaurants and the social distancing. But, you know, but it was happening, I assume, amongst people. But we really didn't mingle with anyone because we just came in. We were in an RV park. We get on the boat. We head out to the Gulf. We were around people that we've been around, so it wasn't that big of a deal. Got home and got back. So hopefully I didn't bring anything unnecessary back to Monroe County. And by the way, when you hang around people from the South, it doesn't take you long to start talking like them. So if I have a little more twang in my voice for this show, you will know that it was a product of me being in Alabama for about 4 or 5 days. All right, let's do a little news of the week brought to you by our newest is Steve's Roofing. If you are in needing of a roof, do what I did. Give Steve's Roofing and Sheet Metal a call. They're the local professionals. They're very high quality, unmatched by the competition. They're your local experts in all residential roofing. Give them a call today or look up online stevesroofingco.com. Follow them and like them on Facebook. Their sign is still in my yard. I'm not going to take it down until we mow again, which I believe is today. All right, also Kenny Bland Auctions. I spent some time with Dirk at the big RV park down in Orange Beach as well. They are your full-service auction service, offering the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. And then lastly, Lance Like of the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family to come with the peace of mind of proper estate planning. Call my friend Like Law Group, Lance Like of the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. I find this somewhat interesting. You know, we talk about the struggling municipalities, which is true, the struggling states, which is true, but what about the struggling pension funds? You know, you have to assume a discount rate. Like, what am I expected to make going forward? And then that determines how much money I have to put in each year. Well, CalPERS, the largest state pension fund in the country with over $395 billion of assets, lowered its assumed rate of interest going forward to 7%. Man, that's still maybe not that practical when you're paying out money today to pension people or next week or next year. That money's invested differently. That's what I teach you guys here on the show, and I teach people all the time. Money that you're going to need this year should be invested in cash or cash alternatives. Money that you don't intend to pay out for many years down the road, that can be invested in equities. Well, I don't know how much money they have invested in equities. My guess is probably 50 to 60% possibly. Well, let's say that return can be somewhere between 8 and 10 long term. We'll just go with the 50-year averages, all right? And let's say the bond returns are 2 or 3 based on where we are today. Well, I don't care what kind of math you do. When you blend those together, there's no 7% return that's going to be had. So look for that pension fund, and many others continue to be way underfunded. Out of thin air, you know, this puts things in perspective. From the end of 2008 to the end of 2010, the Fed did what they call digitally created $1.4 trillion of new money out of air, which used to purchase bonds as part of the quantitative easing program. From Thursday of March 12th through Friday, the 12th of June, the Fed had digitally created $2.9 trillion of new money that was used to purchase treasury bonds and corporate bonds. That comes directly from the Federal Reserve. Man, that just shows you how much liquidity they're cramming into the market. Hopefully, you know, they could create some demand, because I don't care how cheap money is. If someone doesn't want to buy a new washer or a car, they ain't going to do it. All right. That was the Alabama coming out. The Treasury Department maintains a checking account, just like you or I do, of the general account, they call it. It's designed to cover 5 days of outlays. So if your checking account only had 5 days of outlays in it, you probably would be a little bit nervous. Well, that's a minimum balance of $150 billion just to cover 5 days of outlays. Household worth in the United States fell by $6.5 trillion during the first 3 months of 2020. No big surprise there. One in three American workers surveyed in May of 2020 does not want to work from home when the option is returned to them where they can go back to the office. And I hear that from a lot of people because they're just stir crazy working from home. And they're working too much. They're working more. Their computer never shuts off. At least when you were a 9-to-5er or 8-to-4, whatever, you leave and you say, I'll get to that tomorrow. Well, if your office is sitting in your living room, then guess what? After you have dinner, mow the grass, you don't want to think I'll catch up on a few things. I'm seeing that with a lot of people working from home. Thankfully, we don't have anyone else working from home. We did for a while, but now we're all back in the office being as productive as we possibly can. Now, I was just talking about these apartments that we're putting up downtown, the old Hayes Market spot. They're going to rent for $1,000 apiece, one bedroom. But I found it interesting that the median rent for a one-bedroom apartment in Chicago in May of 2020 was $1,097. A one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco, almost $2,500 a month. No wonder no one can afford to live there. And then lastly, even with all this printing of money and everyone talking about how the dollar was going to be worthless, well, 61% of the world's foreign exchange reserves is in cash, the U.S. dollar. That was as of the end of 2019. That comes from the International Monetary Fund. So even though, and that's the question I get a lot, is when can it come to an end? What's this going to look like when it comes to an end? When people don't buy your debt, what's this going to look like? Well, I actually did a webinar this morning called, as you guys know, 2025, The Final Drive, but it mainly focused on taxes in retirement. That was my big focus. Now, this was marketed through Facebook under something called 567 Taxes in Retirement. It was targeted to people, I believe, 50 and older, because I was getting the Facebook popped up on my page, but no one knew that it was me giving the presentation. So it was kind of interesting. We had 22 people pop on this morning, which was fine. We went through my 2025, The Final Drive presentation, and I had some awesome feedback from people. So hopefully we create a few more listeners that popped on. So it was only Monroe County, Jackson County, Owen County, counties around us that were invited to participate in the event. So, if you are one of the people that are now new to the show because of today's program, welcome. And I'd love to hear from you. So you can email us over at cfci@cfci.us and let us know that you're new, and we'll subscribe you to our email list. You can get market updates and videos when we send those out. I have not done a video for a while, a video update, just haven't been urged to do that. But I feel one coming on that I'll get out sometime between now and 4th of July. Again, just keeping it in perspective. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. This morning when I was on the webinar doing taxes and retirement, the 567, 456, I forget how they market it. But anyway, if you saw that, it was me. We had a great time. And I don't get to see faces on webinars, at least the one I did this morning. So it's kind of weird looking into a camera, almost as weird as talking into a microphone in front of nobody, except my friend Jacob across here, the engineer. But you get used to it and learn. And the lady running it told me that we did a great job, and yeah, it was good. So we'll see. But one of the things I pointed out is that, we're $24, $25 trillion in debt. We added another $3 trillion in debt this year alone. We're running budget deficits for the next 10 years at $1 trillion plus. And at some point, someone has to pay the bill, right? Well, the question is, in what form will these taxes come? And that's where I just don't know. Is it increased payroll taxes to pay for Social Security? Probably. Is it increased payroll taxes to pay for Medicare? Probably. Could there be an additional gas tax? Probably. Could there be a national sales tax? Could be. It's been floated before. But the only thing that you can control, and this was my point this morning, is the taxes on your retirement accounts. It's the only thing that we have any control over. And we know with the taxes that settled in 2017 and will run through the end of 2025 are the lowest they've ever been in modern history, ever been. So the question becomes, do you address this looming tax bill that is on your retirement account? Right now, if you cashed it all out, if you had $1 million and you cashed it all out, The first 37% of it's going to federal tax. The next pretty much 5% is going to your state and local. So that's 42% of your money that's gone. So you walk out of there with about $580,000, if my math is somewhat right. That's painful. That's painful. Well, guess what? If that's the cheapest it's ever been, maybe you ought to pull the Band-Aid off, because once it gets into the Roth, which is tax-free growth, you put paid tax on the seed that goes in, not the harvest that it creates, and if you are fortunate enough to get around a 7.2% rate of return, you will double your money every 10 years, and it would all be tax-free. And that's one area that I just haven't emphasized enough, is once you pay the tax, how now it's all tax-free growth. And you don't have to do it all at once. You can do it a little bit at a time, a little now, a little next year, and keep doing it to have a well-coordinated Roth conversion strategy. We have done now somewhere around 180 Roth conversions for people, just in my office alone. And I know from talking with other advisors, it is on the radar of people. So that's the only thing that I can help you control, is paying the tax now to not have to pay it later. Because I am looking at this as a partnership. And unfortunately, the partnership that you're in with your retirement account is not anyone that you really care for. It's the IRS. It's the United States government. They're your partner. And right now, you can say, hey, pay me off. I'm the IRS. You're the IRA. Whatever. Yeah, I didn't put anything even in it. You put it all in. You put the blood, sweat, and tears to accumulate what you've accumulated. And right now, I'm a partner in your retirement account, and you owe me, you name it, 24%, whatever bracket you happen to be in. And I say, well, you know what, I'll just wait. And 10 years from now, like the Congressional Budget Office says every single year, that taxes literally have to double for simply to pay for the things we've already promised. Later on, you're like, all right, I'm going to have to start taking money out either forcefully by required minimum distributions or by electiveness because I need the cash. And guess what? At that point, you have no idea what the IRS's share of that retirement account is. So it's just more of educating and inspiring people, and that's what this morning was all about. And with Social Security, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere. Do I think it could potentially be means tested, which simply means if you have means, then you may not get as much, probably, at some point. Do I think pension plans are coming back anytime soon? No. Do I think that companies have looked at this pandemic as an opportunity to cut back their matches across the entire United States? Some was legit. I mean, but mainly publicly traded companies who have to answer to shareholders alone. Do you think that that match is going to come back the way it was when you first hired? I'm shrugging my shoulders. You can't see me, but I don't really know. So this morning's webinar was just about that. And we also addressed a few other things. We addressed, as you all heard me talk about many times, sequence risk, meaning taking money out of your accounts during bad markets, what kind of investments to hold in which types of accounts, because we did cover capital gains taxes as well and how that's different than regular income, and then how more income can create other issues. But don't forget, you know, me and my wife, Misty, and my son, Will, it's just the three of us, right? And when I think about legacy, just as it was described in the historic Hayes Market article, to me, it's about generational legacy, creating a legacy. But to me, it's about memories and values and things like that, like many of the baby boomers that I know. And I'm not technically a baby boomer, but I do think along those lines more than probably other people my age do. But here's the legacy I'm talking about. You pass away. Let's say I die. Hopefully I live a long time, but you never know. So here's Misty standing there by herself. And now she loses a check because, assuming I'm in retirement, a Social Security check goes away. But the other bad thing that happens, her taxes double. So everything that we know as a married filing joint couple get completely cut in half. So now she needs more money. Her taxes are twice as high, and now she's going to the retirement account to get it, and it's taxable. So I drink my own Kool-Aid. I have as little as possible in any kind of a tax-deferred account. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Dave, I'm 55, I'm 60. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've got a ton of money sitting in my 401k or IRA. How do I get out of this mess? How do I get out of this partnership with someone I don't even know or even possibly like? You have to start taking action. And the unfortunate part of it is, or the fortunate part, I would say fortunate, is that we know exactly how much time you have to do this. So, like I said, are taxes going up? Absolutely. When we did a poll online, like, you know, without a doubt, with the answer, or more than likely, or unsure, we had one person on the webinar say, I'm unsure. But 73% said without a doubt. And the other 20-some percent said probably. But once I went through the taxes and retirement workshop that lasted about 50 minutes, I wish we would have repolled them at the end, because I'm pretty sure it would have been 100% would have said, absolutely, taxes are going to be higher than they are today. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back. I've got all kinds of stuff to cover. So this is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, I was gone for a while, right? I left on Thursday afternoon. I came back on Wednesday night, got a hold of our friend Michael Glass in the afternoon yesterday, just as I pulled into Bloomington. But here's the thing that I am trying to observe and trying to help people understand is how much uncertainty there still is out there from an economic standpoint. You know, markets look forward. And the market can change on a dime. And typically it's on sentiment. Like how do money managers feel? What kind of algorithms are built in these platforms that will cause trades to happen based on a word or news or a shift in this or that? But like I've said, we have made a historic bounce from that low in March to where we are today. I mean, even though we had a whack in the head on, what was it, Wednesday, down 2 or 3% for the day, we have come a long way. Now, what is that based on? Is it based on real economic data? Not really. It's based on hope. It's based on optimism. And we're one bad jobs report. We're one bad spike in virus. We're one bad something for it to go the other way. So you should be putting some defense in your portfolio. And there's a lot of ways to do that. I mean, there's a ton of ways to protect yourself, but to still keep you in the game as well. I also will tell you that we are one antiviral, we are one proven virus, treatment, something that could cause us to go the other way. But I have witnessed the reopening of America in not as hopeful a way as probably the market has. When I talk to people that live in New York, when I talk to the ones that live in Chicago or Philadelphia or Baltimore, Atlanta, but now Florida, parts of Florida, and like I was in Orange Beach, I mean, they were somewhat back to normal, but yet the market spiked on Wednesday, or went down on Wednesday because of a spike in potential cases in Florida. So we're going to see volatility. So again, this is a really good time to reevaluate what you're doing, why you're doing it, and understand that it can go either way. Now, long term, do I think you're going to be fine? Absolutely. But what does that mean? What does that mean for you? Now, the money that I put into Steve's Roofing's pocket for my roof, was that sitting in my stock account? No, it was sitting in my bank account. Money that I'm not going to plan and touch for 20 years, is that in real estate or in the market? Absolutely. Have I paid as much tax now so I don't have to pay it in the future? And that's the thing. When people step back and say, okay, but I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement, that simply is not absolutely true. It's possible, but what you're thinking about is your payroll taxes. When you get into retirement, you don't pay FICA anymore, and you don't pay Medicare tax. You don't pay those taxes any longer. All you're paying is federal and state. And that's why when people think about, okay, how am I going to ever retire because I make this much money and I'll have to replace that much money, that's why we project, you know, around 75% of pre-retirement income, because you don't have to pay all of those excessive taxes, payroll taxes. All you're paying is federal and state. So it kind of puts the ball within reach for a lot of people, especially when you calculate in, okay, net income. Now let's add in federal and state, and then you add in what you're going to get from Social Security, and it makes it more reasonable to get there in a shorter amount of time. But I just wanted to talk about the markets a little bit, about where we are today, where we likely will see things going forward, and long term that we're going to be just fine. And I hope we've done a good job of that. I've never been more proud of my staff. I've never been more proud of people resiliency going through. I've just been really, really encouraged by people. And then I've been discouraged by people but with attitudes towards other things. So my favorite show of the year so far is that when I had Caleb Keyes on, the young entrepreneur, black kid that I've met years ago, lived in the hood. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that show, please listen to it. I love Caleb with all my heart, and he is a winner. And he stays around winners, people that like to do things right. So there's so much that's come out of the last 3 or 4 months from all different angles. And, you know, it's tough because sometimes the arrows are flying from all directions. You don't know which way to duck or swerve. But, you know, we're going to get through all this, and we're going to be better because of it. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, come back, talk about a few more things. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. 4th of July is right around the corner, and then something, you know, when you turn 50, you know, they set appointments for you with doctors that you really don't want to go see. Well, that's supposedly going to happen next week, but I'm going to try to postpone that because I have more important things to do, because the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame is going to gather on Monday night at the Holiday Inn. Now, it's not open to the public, but it is going to be videotaped. I will be there. Joe Smith will be there. Kit Klingerhoff will be there. And hopefully parents of student-athletes will be there, because even though the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame banquet has been postponed or basically canceled for this year and pushed into next year, the one thing that we were determined to do as a group was to make sure the scholarships were given out. So we have all the schools, Edgewood, we have North, we have South, and I believe there's a total of 8 athletes that will be given these scholarships. So I'm super excited about being there on Friday, on Monday night to, you know, get, there's gonna be about 30 of us there, I hope. You know, and we're gonna hand out scholarships because life moves on. My son, he's working up in Indianapolis for an internship for a construction company, and he's moving into his house next month. His friends are moving into the house next month. So things seem to be kind of creeping back to normal, but we'll see. Hopefully that continues. But I'm really excited about that on Monday night, which gives me an excuse to cancel the, and you know what I'm talking about, the appointment on Tuesday. So anyway, I just turned 50 in January. I have all year to make that happen. So anyway, hopefully that all works out fine. All right, so a couple other things. We've been teaching a lot lately on the new retirement. Now, I'm not talking about new because of all the stuff we've gone through, but what the old retirement looked like, you know, where you worked for the same company for 40 years, you retired, you had a pension, Social Security, relied very little on personal savings. But the new retirement is, you know, people jump around jobs. They get a job, they jump, and then maybe they settle in, and then they get serious about saving. But it's pretty much all on them. With Social Security for a 30-year-old, if you ask them, do you believe more in aliens or that Social Security will be there for you when you retire? I'm guessing aliens. In fact, there was a USA Today study about 10 or 15 years ago, or a survey that I used to pull with me all the time, that asked that of 40 or 45-year-olds, that, you know, who believes in aliens, and like most people did, and who believed that Social Security would be there for them, and like maybe half did. So it's funny, but you are on your own when it comes to this retirement planning, and especially if you're working with young people. Like, let's say you're my age or older, and a new person comes in to your, like, your, to work there. Do me a huge favor. Do them a favor. Get a hold of them and say, hey, do you know about this 401k plan we have? Match or no match, I don't even care. Just, you need to start doing it. But I can't afford to do it. You can't afford not to do it. So be that person at your employer, because we're trying from all angles. Because if we don't solve what I really believe is a retirement crisis in America, where people just have not simply saved enough because they didn't know, right? It's about financial literacy and education, and that's kind of what this program's about. But unfortunately, not many 30-year-olds listen to this program. They're all like me and you. That's who listens. So be that guy, be that gal at your employer to say, hey, you need to do this. Because if we don't, we're all going to be in trouble. You know, we'll be paying for everything. We'll be paying for, you know, their food, where they live. We'll be paying for the rehabilitation for that knee replacement that you also just paid for. So it's not just to help them, it's to help you and everyone else who's tried to do the right thing and save money. But because you had somebody, hopefully, in your life, a mentor or whatever, that said, hey, Come on, let's get this going. I know that I've had a lot of mentors, and that's why I try to give it back sometime. All right. A couple quick things here. Let's see. I'm looking at, oh, man, we have so much data coming in over the next few weeks, economic data, which I think will start to give us a better picture of how things are going and reopening. But, you know, even in restaurants, people just aren't going back and flock to the restaurants. I've been to a few. We've sat outside, like at Yogi's over here. It's been fun on a nice day. But, you know, when you're forced to have social distancing, most restaurants do not have the capacity, the room, to put even 50% of the people back in there. It's more like 30. My brother Dan, on Father's Day, went to, I think he told me it was Cheddar's or something, and, you know, they had people waiting outside to get in, but they couldn't seat but maybe a third of the people because of all the distancing required. So we'll see. I just don't see it happening super quick. We've had some social gatherings at our house, and like I said, I've been fishing, so we'll see. But I'm just kind of cautiously optimistic, and that's the realistic side of me. And I'm typically like super optimistic. So I just want everyone to know that as we go through the summer, I would not be surprised if you see this volatility in the market that we saw like Wednesday. I didn't even check what today was because Rod was. I think we actually were up some, but. Let's see. Yeah, we were about flat. So not too bad one way or another. But yeah, so just a lot of really interesting things to keep our eyeballs on. I'm going to take one last break, come back, and wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Hey, I have a mega segment here for you, and because I kind of tripped up my time a little. That happens. You know, I have kind of an outline here in front of me, and I kind of skip around a little bit and try to cover it all, but sometimes I get off task. And when I get off task, it's easy to sort of trip up on things. I was talking to someone about the onboarding and offboarding process at an employer. When you get onboarded, there's a lot of training that goes into it, right? And a lot of time and efforts put into you. It's kind of a lost leader because they lose a lot of money on you early on to get you to make money for them later on. But then when the offboarding process comes, it's like, hey, when are you retiring? All right, here's the packet, here's some stuff, see you later. And the reason they do that, I think, is that they are not really able to give you advice. They can give you some information, but no advice. So when you onboard, that's one thing. But when you offboard, what about health insurance? What about Medicare? What about Social Security? Should you take it now or should you wait? I love the story, and I talked about it this morning, of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan getting together to say, hey, how can we keep people from taking Social Security so early at 62? It's killing us. And they're like, hey, I have an idea. We'll give you 8% for every year you wait up until age 70. And they say, well, that's still, oh, it's an okay deal, but I could actually take it, invested in U.S. Treasuries at 12% back in the early 80s, and then grow it. And then when I need it, I've actually made more money. So they kept that 8% in place. And ever since the early 80s, interest rates have gone from that to now zero. So the best deal going is a delay strategy with Social Security for many people. So the offboarding process, how do you position your investments before you retire to make sure that you don't get, you know, just destroyed right as you move into that last leg of retirement? At what point should you start, you know, putting yourself in a good situation? You know, I like to see you start doing that 2 to 3 years out, maybe even as much as 5 years out. But this is part of the offboarding process. So I've been pushing employers lately to discuss what an offboarding process looks like and at what point should it start happening. If I am 60 years old and I said, you know, I think I'm going to work until 66, you might be able to wait a couple more years. But if I'm 62 and I want to check out at 65, we better start the offboarding process right away. And it's about education. It's about protection. It's about security and certainty. That's what it's all about. So if you are an employer and you would like to kick that idea around a little bit, it's something that I'm really getting pretty fired up about and passionate about. And then earlier I talked about some of these investments that can give you protection and how you can put some floors in. Had a great meeting today. Of course, it was Zoom, and I rarely see anybody. In fact, the Boys and Girls Club Strong Women webinars tonight, which we're the proud title sponsor of. Once again, you know, it's kind of like if you can push forward and carry on and keep doing what you've always done, whether it's being generous or whether supportive or whatever it might be, because the COVID, the pandemic hasn't drastically affected you, then you probably should do that. So I'm excited about that tonight. It's all virtual, which is kind of cool. We're going to sit at home. We're going to grab some food from the Wagon Wheel, which is part of the deal that they provided a meal. And my wife and I are going to participate in the one-hour-long Smart Women, Strong Women. I forget the actual title. I should know. We're the presenting sponsor. But anyway, those are the minor details. But anyway, we were talking about investments. So at this lunch meeting today, this gentleman proposed an investment that had no fees, which everyone's ears perk up, right? And he said, if the stock market is flat or positive at all over the next 12 months, then you'll get a 14% return. I'm like, that's awesome. And then if it goes down 10% or less, you don't lose anything. But if it does go down more than 10, you absorb that portion of the loss. But he did a really neat illustration over a 6-year period of time, 10-year period of time of that product. But I'm just saying that the financial industry, the securities industry, the insurance industry, all these people that build product come out with some pretty cool stuff. And typically, it's in reaction, unfortunately, to what's happened. So what's happened is people got scared again about losing money, even though for years it was like, hey, I'm never going to lose money again in the market. Well, guess what? When you think that's the case, that's typically when it happens. It comes out of nowhere. And you could go back and listen to some of our previous shows, like back in, you know, January and February, even us talking about things being a little bit overvalued and da-da-da-da-da, but no one at that point expected the virus to affect our economy the way that it did, or that we would go into a complete self-induced economic coma, which is what we did. And that's why, you know, I don't think that if the virus comes back that you're going to see massive shutdowns again. I think we're going to try to weather through it. Because if you think about where we were economically headed into this thing, like I said, like a fat guy going into surgery. And you've got a lot of stuff you can lose if you go through it, you know, but that's the way we were. Well, now we're a skinny guy going into surgery. It's like my son going into surgery. He's thin. He doesn't have a lot to lose. So I don't think that if we have another spike, you know, nationally, that you'll see this happen again. I also don't think that people will generally let it happen. I think it'll come down to if you're older and at risk, then you probably should stay at home. If you're younger and need to work, you probably should go to work. It's just, you know, wash your hands, right? Don't touch your face. Try to keep your distance from people. But it's going to be interesting. I was down in the South and talking about football, and they're passionate about their football down there. And they're even saying that they'll probably reopen football at 30% capacity or something like that. So that's going to be really weird to see the big house up in Michigan, you know, at a 20 or 30% capacity. I was laughing. I said, I've been an Indiana football enthusiast my entire life. I have been a season ticket holder since Cam Cameron's first year, if that gives you any idea. And I was joking with someone, well, if they limit us to 20 or 30% capacity, that's pretty much a normal game for us. So we may not be terribly affected by that. I'm sorry, Tom Allen, because you know how much I love Indiana football. I love going to the Gator Bowl and all that. And I was really looking forward to this year's season, and hopefully it goes off without much of a hitch, and it is what it is. Last thing before I let you all go, really trying to build in some great shows for the rest of this year. And it's somewhat hard when you're going through interesting times to not stay focused on talking about those things. But I also think it's really important that we get back to talking about longer-term things that matter. Like this morning, I was talking about proper beneficiary planning, how important that is. We beat that drum so hard for the last 15 years, but, you know, we kind of quit talking about that. You know, how not to disinherit your grandchildren without even knowing it. Or talking about other estate planning things that you need done. Like, why would I have a power of attorney or a healthcare representative for my son who's 19? Well, guess what? He's 19. I can't even go into the doctor's appointments with him without his permission. well, I need a healthcare representative. I need a power of attorney where I can act on his behalf. You know, those are really important things that people don't think about. So I'm going to try next, the second part of this year. We'll continue to talk about the relevant things to today, but I also think we need to step back and start talking about these other things that we've talked about for years. Proper estate planning, retirement roadblocks, all of those things. We have a virtual Ivy Tech course coming up soon called Today's Guide to Retirement Planning, which is the class that we teach and have taught for well over a decade. It's over 2 days. It's about 2.5 hours each class. And when you talk about everything, and I'm talking soup to nuts, you need 5 or 6 hours. And that's just the beginning. That's just to make you aware of what you should be thinking about and doing. And we talk about the new reality of retirement, you know, how people want to focus more on experiences and things of that nature. We talk about, you know, how to avoid the major retirement roadblocks. We talk about investments in a great detail and estate planning. So all of that goes into what I'm focusing on for the rest of 2020, in addition to trying to get my book done. So I have another meeting with my writer tomorrow, and we're keeping this thing moving forward. So I'm praying that I can get this thing wrapped up before the end of this year, 2020, because if you have a book called 2025, The Final Drive, I'd like to have at least 5 years of relevancy before it hits the shelf. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's program. I know we just kind of bounced around a little bit, not a lot of real heavy content, but just had a lot of different things I wanted to talk about and were on my mind, especially after spending Father's Day in the Gulf of Mexico with my son Will and some other friends. And, you know, and with the article coming out in the HT in the home section about giving the historic Hayes Market and parking lot new life, you know, just kind of gives you a little perspective and you start thinking about stuff. So as I think about stuff, I want to talk about stuff, and this is the platform that I have, and I'm grateful for that. I'll never take it for granted, and if you hear me say something that you think stupid, I want to know that. If you hear something that you think is pretty good, I want to hear that too, because I'm just like everybody else. I need encouragement, and I need inspiration, and I need a pat on the back every once in a while, but I also need to be told when I'm wrong or whenever someone thinks I'm wrong. So I'm always open to that, and I love having conversations with random people on the phone via Zoom. So don't think that I am not accessible, because I am. I enjoy it a great deal. And I feel that like that's part of the responsibility of being here on the show, is that I need to be somewhat accessible. Now, I may not be accessible to you from the normal hours during the day, but now as a quasi empty nester and no traveling, pretty much, I am available in the evening. So that's been somewhat nice, I guess, and just being able to hang out and have conversations with people after hours. But you can reach out to us at cfci.us, at cfci.us. Check out our website while you're there as well. Hey, I hope everyone has a fantastic week. And next week, as we roll towards 4th of July, we'll have all kinds of other things to discuss. This is Your Money with David Hayes.